You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ Bucky back with you here on Move the Sticks. Buck, what is going on? How was your Easter, man?
Easter was great. Kids are back. Son came in town. Hung out with him. Man, what all we do? Let's just hung out, man. It was just kind of cool kind of being back, being able to kind of relax because I knew starting on Monday, path to the draft started. And so it will be a busy next 4 to 5 weeks getting ready for the draft.
Yeah, Bucky's hammering path every day. So be on the lookout for that. We've got mock draft live, which I think is Lance. I think that's Lance's mock draft this week. That's Tuesdays. So we've got a lot. You doing TA as well? So are you mixing some TA as well, Buck?
No TA. But now, are you doing your draft show?
Got the draft show with Lance that we're doing on NFL Plus. I'm doing Path with you on Tuesdays. Tuesdays is like my car wash day. So Path, I've got mock draft, and then I've got TA. So that's Tuesdays. And then the Lance thing, I think that's all on the – you can just go on NFL Plus. You can find a bunch of different videos. I don't think, you know, the way that works, it's like timed up. I think it's just – you just kind of a smorgasbord of videos on there. And then I'm trying to get everything polished up for the draft stuff in terms of top 150 because you get outside the 50. I do what are called those baseball cards. So when the guys get picked, for those that don't know, you watch the screen, it'll say, okay, Byron Murphy was selected, and it'll have his name, his picture, and it'll have like three nuggets on him. You know, like maybe he's explosive, instinctive, and then maybe a comparison to like Ed Oliver or something. So I got to do those for like the top 150 guys. So that's my homework for this week, man.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a lot of work. That is not an easy job, but that's fun because the one thing that we've learned, particularly on this side, where people love pro comparisons. They love being able to think about what they're going to do. And it's a conversation that we had today in the production meeting. DJ, every person doesn't have a comp as much as we would love it to be. Like it's really hard because for me, I try to do comps not only on playing style, but you're trying to have someone who has the playing style with the physical dimensions, you know? And so sometimes it's hard. And sometimes the guy's a one of one and you can't find a direct comparison, but the visual.
Like, who are you struggling with? Help me out. Who are we having tough time with?
Okay. So the conversation today centered around Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
Yeah.
Because he's so smooth, so athletic, so fluid, like what is a natural comp? And I was going round and round with Mark Ross about it because it was his player, but I was like, man, I don't know. I don't have a real natural one because you're trying to be careful not to have the comp be a gold jacket guy, right?
Yeah.
But you're also not trying to have it be an unheralded, unnamed
MVS
or guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I would take MVS in the first round. It can't be MVS. Yeah, but he kind of plays like him, but it's just a better version of him.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things. And I was like, man, like that's hard. But when I was at Carolina, John Fox loved comps. Mm-hmm. He loved comps because that's how his mind operated. Like if you could tell him who this player would be, or hey, you remember coach, he reminds you of yada yada yada, he'd be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He could understand that. He couldn't just sit there and listen to the report. You had to tell him, who does he play like? Mm-hmm. So he could kind of understand who the player is.
Yeah, I think that sometimes when you can't find that perfect DNA match, which is hard on some of those players, I also think it's helpful to just be like, hey, he's going to serve in this role. Like this mm-hmm. role that this player does with this offense, like he is that, that's who he is. He's going to plug that role for us. Maybe different size, maybe a little more speed, but that's how he's going to be used. But like there's different ways to get around comps because some of them you're just not going to have a clean one.
You know what I love? You know the word that I love when people do it? He's a poor man's blankety, 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 blankety.
Yeah.
Like, why does he have to be a poor man's guy? Like, what does that mean? Like, what
does that mean? But like I said it with, I see my way, because I think poor man's has such a negative connotation.
That
I've adjusted that to say the Kirkland brand. So if you shop at Costco, you know, like you can get like the name brand or you can get the Kirkland brand.
Let's go generic. Yeah. Let's go generic.
Give me some Kirkland socks. Are you going to pay extra for the Nike socks? You get the Kirkland socks. Yeah, that's fine. Like that's to me was... that was like the edge rusher from Kansas. I said he was the Kirkland brand Max Crosby. That's who I said he was.
That's so unbelievable. That's
but it's true. But you know what I'm saying when I say that.
That's just generics. Yeah, you know, at the drugstore, like, no, you don't have to get like the Aquaphor. It's the CVS brand. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's generic. Hey,
Kirkland, they got generic golf balls, man. You're gonna pay for all those whatever they're called,
the Pinnacle.
Higher than the Pinnacle.
The PV1.
The Titleist, like the Titleist Pro V1s. The Titleist Pro V1s. Why would you do that? You get the Kirkland brand golf balls. Hey, maybe not travel quite as far, but just save a little cash on those things. On the pod today, Buck, we are going to do a defensive only mock draft. We did the offense, which was pretty in terms of what this is going to be. The offense was a piece of cake because this draft is heavily slanted towards quarterbacks, tackles, wide receivers. We could shop in those three stores and get our way all the way through a first round of a mock draft. We're going to be stretched. I'm telling you that today. When we get to the end of the first round with a defensive mock draft, we are going to be stretched. There's going to be third round players that are going to be in this mock draft. That's what we've signed up for, though. If we did the offense, we got to be fair. We got to turn around and do the defense as well. So we're going to do that in just a moment. But I wanted to start out to get your thoughts on something. So this time of year, I'm personally trying to go back in and clean up some clumps. We talk about cluster busters. I'm sure we do that on path of some guys who are closely graded and stacked together. And kind of the early part of the process, we go through and get all the guys watched, but then it's like, okay, now I need to sort out some of these clumps as we get down to the end. And this is what's going on with the team. So I'm curious, do you have a go-to that you will use at any, like, is there a certain position where you're like, you know what, for my tiebreakers, I'm going to go to this? It's hard for us because we don't get a chance to talk to all these guys and we don't get all the pristine character or medical information. But like, I'll give you for example. I've got running backs. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got my top 7 running backs. I gave them all 63 grades. They're all the same grade. Shake them up and whatever. So what I do for running backs, right, wrong, or indifferent, but just how I've done it, is I'll go through and I'll pull all their explosive runs. So I want to see you at your absolute best. What does your best look like? And so I'll write down like the number, like, you know, Jalen Wright had 35 explosive runs all the way down to Trey Benson, who had 23 explosive runs. So I'll go through that cut up and that's how I'm going to separate that little stack of guys. But is there anything you have for any positions or anything that you've gone back to?
Look, I think in using running backs as the example, because that's where you started. I think for me, and it's funny that you talked about that, having just completed like a top 5 list, and you look up there and you're like, they're all kind of the same. Depends on what kind of committee situation do they step into. I think when I get into those things, I then begin to separate them in terms of who fits in this scheme, who fits in another scheme, who is the most versatile that can kind of fit overall. And I tend to stack them that way. The same thing with defensive backs, like which guy's a zone guy, which guy's a man guy, who has a little balance nature. And I typically go with the player that is more balanced because that allows him. Because remember, for our role, we're talking about the league in general. Mm-hmm. For our role, it gives him probably more opportunities than someone who is just a narrow fit in a certain scheme based on his playing style. But it's not an easy fix. And sometimes you try and, like, for instance, if we were looking at quarterbacks and we're going back and forth, and let's just say Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams had the same grade. But then you're looking for, let's see him against a common opponent. Mm-hmm. You know, let's watch both of these guys play against Notre Dame, and let's see who fared well. What did this defense give this player that was problematic where the other player was able to crush it? I would try and find a common denominator to be able to watch them, to be able to help me sort them out in my own head, whether it's a team, whether it's a player, whatever. Typically, I'm trying to find a way to level the playing field so I can evaluate the talent for the talent.
That's a good way to put it. And trying to find, you know, that's why the combine's great. You see them lined up next to each other, go through their workouts. You can compare them on the same field in the same setting and see what they look like. One more thing, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do this defensive draft. But I was talking to a couple GMs this weekend, and I was posing questions to them. Where, like, they were picking, they're outside. They're towards the bottom of the first round, right? They're not at the top of the draft. And I gave them some scenarios. Like, if you look at three, assuming, you know, whatever, however the quarterbacks come off the board, but let's just say you're talking about three with New England, and I brought up five with the Chargers, those two teams. I probably should have mentioned Arizona. I didn't do it, but I mentioned those two teams specifically. And I put on the board, like, with the Chargers, I said, four, let's just say that this happens. This crazy thing happens, and we get the four quarterbacks. You're the Chargers, and you've got stick and pick receiver, you've got the tackle, you've got the trade down. So I presented that to some people. Unanimous answer of what it was. Can you guess what it was?
Stick and pick?
Trade down.
Oh.
Trade down. And the reason was is because they assumed that the quarterback teams are those, we've got 11 Vikings, right? So 11, mm-hmm. 12, 13, that's quarterback alley. With the Vikings, then we've got the Broncos and we've got the Raiders. And the thought being, these GMs said, there's enough good players in that top clump that I'm still going to get a really good player that I really like. And if you're a team that's up there, there's work to be done, I would trade out. And the same thing came back with New England. And I said, what about New England? You get the quarterback, you know, whoever it is, whether it's Jay Daniels, Drake May, even if you want, or J.J. McCarthy, whoever you want. They all said with that team, where they are talent-wise now, they trade back into that range. They're still going to get a really, really good player that's going to help them, and then they're going to get a lot of other assets. So it seems to be that, at least talking to decision makers, they feel like there is 15-player, this is a 15-player, you know, top clump, that the difference between, you know, 3 and 5 and 15, now keep in mind some of these, the quarterback thing makes it a little screwy. But just in terms of, I think some people have it set in their mind that, like, this, the elite player at 3 and 5, you don't pass up on that player. While the league, at least from the decision makers on the back end of the draft, feel like there's not as much difference between 3 and 5 and 14 and 15 this year.
I agree with that. I can see where the league would be in consensus about not necessarily viewing significant differences between some of the top guys in the draft. And I think I saw your tweet the other day saying, man, between 35 and 55.
Oh, yeah, that's nothing. There's no difference.
Yeah, there's no difference. And DJ, I would say, like, in your mind, where do you think the breaking point is when it comes to the end of the first round talent? Like, the guys that are, if we poll like five or six of our general manager buddies or top execs, where do you think the breaking point is when it comes to the number of guys that are consensus first round picks?
So here's how I'd answer that, because I've asked this question. And like the example was this. Tackles, right? We've talked about this being an unbelievable tackle class. That being said, they're gone. They're gone in one. Gone. Mm-hmm. Whereas receivers, 2 and 3, we got guys we like. We're good. We can take guys. So I think it kind of varies by position of how deep this draft is. But I do think that talking to those guys this past weekend, they tend to put it at that like 15 range, you know. And maybe you can stretch that and get to 20. But it doesn't feel like much beyond that. So, and that the biggest takeaway I had from the weekend was that these guys saying I would try and get out if I was up top. If I could still stay within the top 15, I would get out. And the other thing that was overwhelming, which was, if you want your tackle, you take him first. If you have needs and it's 100%. Tackle, wide out, whatever else, you take the tackle. Even though we might say there's 8 of them, they're gone. You're not seeing any of those guys in the second round.
Yeah. So, and we've talked about this exercise, like for scouts, like listening, how as much as we focus on the first round, you almost have to take day one and two together. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, it's almost like the Price is Right, the showcase showdown. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, at the end of draft weekend, after day two, if I can get this tackle and this wideout, what I want, A, so for instance, like, A, I can get Joe Alt and A.D. Mitchell mm-hmm. versus Marvin Harrison Jr. and maybe the Morgan
Jordan Morgan. Arizona. Yeah, that's what
from
it
Arizona.
Is. Yeah.
And so which one would I rather have? Which one do I feel better about? That's the conversation.
And the league is answering this in emphatic fashion that they'd feel better about the tackle first, receiver second combo.
And that will shape the decisions. And so when some of these guys that we're talking about in mock drafts and whether it's wide receivers or whatever, when those guys don't hear the name call in day one, it's not necessarily an indictment on their talent. It's more of an indicator, hey, we better hurry up and fish in this tackle pond, because if we go to day two, the fish are a lot different than they were on day one.
I had one GM whose first immediate reaction was trade down, right? If you're up there in the top five, if you're not going to get one of the, you know, he kind of used the top couple quarterbacks, those top couple quarterbacks are gone, trade down, stay within the top 15. So that would be option one. Option two, he said, I would just take one of those big time receivers because they're the highest rated guys on the board. Mm-hmm. And then I said, but I asked him, well, what if you need a tackle? And he goes, well, there's a good group of tackles. And then he kind of caught himself. He's like, you know what? I might rethink that. I think I would go tackle because there's going to be receivers. There's going to be good receivers there in the second round. Whereas the tackle group didn't love that next wave is quite as much. So it's not as easy as just saying, hey, I'm picking where I'm picking. Player. Who's the best player? It's like, well, I'm building a draft class too now. Like, what's my best collection of players that are going to help me win games?
Right. So I may take a B+ to get an A later, but if I get an A, then I may get a C at another position group. Mm-hmm. So which one allows me to have the highest GPA at the end of the draft?
It's a good way to put
that's
it.
That's really what it comes down to. And it's tough because one of the jobs of like the person that's running the draft and the people that are in the higher roles is to be able to look at the landscape of the draft and be able to really touch on, hey, here are the strengths, here are the weaknesses. Here's where we can go a little deeper in the draft to get a player. Here's where we need to get a player early because it drops off. This may be a draft where we punt. Once we get to the fifth round, we may punt on all our picks, trade away all our picks so we can get more picks next year because we don't feel good about the depth of the draft after a certain point. Because that's also been the conversation. We've had conversations with our buddies where they say, hey, man, good luck if you got to get into day three and you need a position because it's going to thin out. And it's going to thin out rather quickly. This is a draft that I'm excited to see how people kind of approach it. What's the strategy that people take when it comes to accumulating their players? And when do we see a bunch of people just trade out and try and, hey, I'll wait to 2025, 2026 to get some of the things that I need to get.
Mm-hmm. No, it's part of the strategy, man. That's what makes it fun. It's interesting to break down. But just hopefully gave you a little bit of food for thought there on what that could look like. All right, we're going to take a break. We come back. I'm telling you, Buck, we don't know what we've signed up for. This is going to be challenging. We're going to do a defensive-only mock draft, and I can't wait for somebody to post on social. Move the Sticks. The Move the Sticks podcast has Caleb Williams not even going in the first round. That's going to happen without realizing this is a defense-only mock draft. But we set ourselves up for that. We'll deal with the consequences. We'll do that right after this break. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah.
It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Buck. We are going to fire up the mock draft simulator here on PFF, which is a lot of fun to play around with.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the rules are defense only. You have the first pick. I believe I had the first pick on the offense. You've got the defense. I'm telling you, this ain't going to be easy, man. But go ahead. You're up first with Chicago.
No, it's not going to be easy. And DJ, like, what I believe is I should be the minister of chaos right out the gate. And so I'm not going to worry about medicals. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. I'm just going to go by what I love on tape. And so the number one pick in this defensive draft would be Laiatu Latu from UCLA. I'm going to take him with Chicago Bears because I want a pure pass rusher opposite Montez Sweat. And I don't know if there's a more polished, more dynamic pass rusher in this draft than Latu.
Okay. All right. Now we are off and running here. We are cooking. Now we get to Washington here. I'm up with them. This is a team last year, Buck, defensively, last in points per game and total yards per game allowed. They were terrible. They've added on the defensive side of the ball. They've added Dorrance Armstrong to come off the edge. They've added Bobby Wagner. I like to see that as well. They've had a lot of new names come in there with Adam Peters adding some pieces. Cleveland Farrell is another one. Dante Fowler. So they've added some guys on the edge. But I look out at this secondary. They have added Michael Davis, who I was around with the Chargers at corner. But I think corner is a way that they could look here. So we are off. We are cooking with gas, and I'm going to say that and I believe this will be the first corner that will be picked is Quinyon Mitchell here from Toledo to Washington.
Look at you! I mean, you just over here just talking all about it, just everything that we can want.
I'm trying to make these decisions real time. It's a lot to take in. When you're just looking at defense here, it gets tricky because a lot of these teams up in the top 10, we all have been saying they're all going to take offense. So you got to rethink this thing here.
DJ, this is going to be tough. This is going to be a tough
draft. I told you it's going to be hard.
Yeah, it's
going to be hard. You got New England.
I have New England, and I'm sitting here thinking about the Patriots and when they've been at their best. You know, it's funny because when Bill Belichick was there, they were always a coverage team, not a rush team. They put a premium on the DBs more so than the pass rushers. I think Jerod Mayo continues with that tradition, and he is going to take a corner. So I'm going to take a corner from Alabama. Let's go with Terrion Arnold. Let's put him in place for the New England Patriots and see if we can get a little better by playing tighter defense, and we can pair him with Christian Gonzalez and really get after people.
Okay. All right. I'm up next, and I've got some options here. I could go a couple different places. I'm down to one of the edge rushers here with Arizona. This is a team that was pretty bad last year. 30th in sacks. They were last in rushing yards per game, last in third down defense, 27th in takeaways. I mean, this is a team that really does need defense. So if I'm looking at them and they're going to take an edge rusher, I'm going to go Dallas Turner here from Alabama with the fourth pick.
Okay, so now we are here with the Chargers. I brought back the older guys. I have Khalil Mack. I have Joey Bosa. I have needs not only outside, but I have needs on the inside at defensive tackle. But DJ, I'm just thinking long term, and I just think about how Jim Harbaugh, just the toughness and all that other stuff. Let's go with Jared Verse from Florida State. So I got a young pass rusher in the hopper to eventually replace Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa after this season. So let's go with Verse.
All right. I like that. I like that move here. That gets me
to
the New York Giants. And man, this is, I'm telling you, these options start disappearing quick here. All right. So for the Giants, when I look at them, corner, could go corner here. Safety, I'm not taking a safety all the way up here. You can always look O-line, D-line. We look at what they've done in free agency with the trade. They got Brian Burns. So they've got a pretty nice little pairing there with Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns coming off the edges. I like that. I like that combination that they have. Plus, they've still got Ojulari there. Oh, man. All right. I'm gonna take someone to play next to Dexter Lawrence on the inside here. I could look at corner, but I'm going to go with Byron Murphy here from Texas. I'm going to put him in the inside. I told you some of these names, it's going to get interesting once we get to the bottom of this thing, Buck.
All right. So we got Byron Murphy. So now we have the Tennessee Titans. Whew. Tennessee Titans, I need a hard playing guy on the interior. Or do I need someone on the exterior? So now I'm looking.
They need edge. They've needed edge rusher. Oh no,
man,
sorry.
They need edge rusher. So yeah, now they need an edge rusher. So DJ, I'm kind of stuck here. So we're getting down to it. So let's go with Chop Robinson. Coming off. Yeah, Chop Robinson goes. Oof. So who'd you take? Who'd you take for the Giants?
So I had Byron Murphy. You just took Chop. Okay. So Chop Robinson, you got going to Tennessee. I'm gonna come back with Atlanta. Atlanta edge rusher is definitely a place you can go here. We've seen some edge rushers go flying off the board. I mean, I'm telling you, this thing disappears on us quick. Edge rusher is where I wanted to go, but you took the one that I would have taken there. All right, I'm taking Atlanta. I'm taking Cooper DeJean.
Ooh.
From Iowa.
Ooh.
I can play him. I think he can play nickel. I think he could be your big nickel. I think he could hold up outside at corner if you needed him to. He can play safety if you want him to. He's got that positional flex there. I feel okay about that.
All right. So now,
Buck, we are only on pick 9, and it's already gotten out of control here.
Okay. So let's do a review. So we got Dallas Turner at 4. Chargers took an edge rusher. Who did
they took Verse. They took Verse.
First,
then we had Byron Murphy's gone.
Murphy,
Chop Robinson's gone, and Cooper DeJean.
Oh man, I can double my pleasure. You left me a pass rush interior. Okay, so now let's go. All right, so with the Chicago Bears, man, we just have to continue to add to our D line. Let's go, man. It's so early, but yeah, let's go. They the good players. Let's go, Johnny. Let's go Johnny Newton coming off the board right now at number 9. So I got an inside guy, an outside guy, and the New York Jets are now on the clock at 10.
Yep. Okay. The Jets just made the trade for Reddick. So they've got Reddick. They've got Jermaine Johnson. They've got John Franklin Myers. They've also got Will McDonald, last year's first round pick. So we've got a lot of edge. Signed Kinlaw in free agency to go along with Quinnen. They still have Solomon Thomas. I mean, their defensive front's in really good shape. You've got Quincy Williams coming off an all-pro season. You got C.J. Mosley, who's the leader. Mm-hmm. You've got a great secondary with corners. I mean, they've got everything covered here. They've got nickels. Like, they've got outside guys. This is a team that
sounds like
not,
a pass. Sounds like you should
not,
pass.
Yeah, does not need a lot on defense here. I'll just go back to the defensive line. I'm going to go back to the defensive line, Buck. And I know they love quickness. They love get off, guys that can get up the field. It's just an embarrassment of riches up front. I'm going to take Braden Fisk with the 10th pick. That's where I am.
Oh, look at you. Look at you over here.
He just plays upfield. He can get upfield in the interior, him and Quinnen getting after it.
Mm.
This is going to be a bleep show when we get to the bottom of the first round, by the way.
Yeah, it It absolutely is. DJ is.
Tells you this is an offensive draft, if you didn't know.
So DJ, we're now down here, and I'm sitting here. I'm the Minnesota Vikings, and I need D-line. But, man, we're already kind of picked pretty good, pretty clean. I'm looking at DB. I'm looking at a high IQ DB who could really kind of help us. You know, DJ, I just think the slot package, I think I'm going to go and get Mikey Sanristil.
Whoa, right here. We are all bets are off here.
A nickel. We're going to get a nickel corner that can play. Wow. And look, and I know most traditional things, we get an outside guy or whatever, but I'm just going to go and get a specialist for the Minnesota Vikings, Mikey Sanristil, being able to play in blind Flores system because he's a good tackle. He can come off the edge. He can do a lot in that cover zero system that the Vikings employ.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go then. I'm up next. And I know that some of these other corners are going to go ahead of this guy because he did not run well. Wish he would have ran faster. I loved him on tape. He's going to end up, I believe, with his profile is going to go in the second round, even though I have him kind of in that late first round on my list. But I'm going to take Ennis Rakestraw here with the next pick with the Denver Broncos. Corner from Missouri.
Ooh, look at you.
I wanted him to run faster, Buck. There was reports on Twitter that from the pro day that he ran in the mid 4.4s, and then I saw the numbers from the teams and then talking to corroborating that with a couple other teams, it was still in the mid 4.5s. So that, you know, ran 4.51 at the combine. It was okay, but I was hoping he was going to get in the 4.4s. He didn't, but still a really good football player.
Yeah, really good football player. And, you know, I'm the Las Vegas Raiders. Our guy, Tom Telesco, likes really good football players. We have some guys. I need to check our chart. I'm sitting here. I know we have a huge need on the outside. We kind of took care of the interior defensive line by getting Christian Wilkinson.
Oof, but still got a bunch of corners here. You got Wiggins.
I know. I got Nate Wiggins. I know. I'm sitting here, but Wiggins, DJ. So here's the thing about Wiggins and why I have a tough time. Wiggins is 173, 175 pounds. Yeah. Like, can
he put on a little weight for his pro day? So he got up. He's in the 180s.
Okay, so here's what we can do. We'll take him because he's fast and he fits the normal Raider profile.
Yeah.
But man, like I got him. I got Jack Jones. I just feel small on the outside when I'm playing. But I'm going to take Nate Wiggins here with the Vegas Raiders.
Okay. That leaves me with the Saints. On the Saints, I know we've talked about what they've done. They went out and got Chase Young. You've got Cam Jordan, who's been, you know, an unbelievable Hall of Fame career, but how much time does he have left?
Man, he's getting old.
I'm gonna give them the guy that has a little Cam Jordan to him. I'm gonna give him Darius Robinson here from Missouri to the Saints.
That's a good pick, a good comp. I like that. Okay, so now we have to go traits. We're the Indianapolis Colts. We're looking at defense, and man, we need corners in the worst way. And I'm sitting here trying to find corner that would fit. I could go, I guess I'm gonna take Kool-Aid off the board right now. Kool-Aid McKinstry went to the Indianapolis Colts right here at pick 15.
Kool-Aid goes there. That means I am up next with Seattle coming off the edge. You got Boye Mafe, young player. Darnell Taylor, who's got some traits. Nwosu played great last year. Derek Hall is interesting. They've got a lot of young guys there. Obviously, with Witherspoon and Woolen, they got two young corners. Witherspoon on the inside. Signed Rayshon Jenkins in free agency to go along with Julian Love. Julian Love's a good safety. I could look at another corner potentially for them. Corner board starts to fall apart a little bit here. Mm-hmm. They don't really need an edge rusher. Screw it. I'm just going to take Marshawn Nealon on the edge, even though, you know, it's not really a glaring need for them. I just love the player, so I'm going to take him here. You know how easy this was? You know how many wide receivers we had to choose from when we did the offense? I mean, we could have just 15 wideouts in the first round. No big deal.
Yeah, definitely. So now, all right, so I am – I am the Jacksonville Jaguars. I am in need of a few different positions. I need someone up front. I need someone on the edge. Okay, let's see who my edge defenders are that are still left. I got Chris Braswell, Adis Isaac. Nope. I need a more proven guy. Defensive tackle. The guys that are on the board right now are not necessarily popping off. Let's go. So my interior players, okay, so I can take Chris Jenkins here. If I want to do that, because I value inside over outside. So let's take Chris Jenkins with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That leaves me Cincinnati as I look at the Bengals here. But Geno Stone, overpaid him some cash. Mm-hmm. I like Logan Wilson. I like Jermaine Pratt. I like where they are there. They've got Edge, Sheldon Rankins. I might go DT again here, like you just did. And this is interesting. So a couple different guys I have closely graded, but I'm going to go with Rook Arororo. Love saying that name.
Oh, okay. From Clemson.
DT. Yeah. I actually have him and Chris Jenkins touching each other. But to me, I thought both those guys were going to go, you know, bottom two, maybe even top of three for one of them. But they were, that's kind of where they were, outside my top 50. But that's where you get on this defense only mock draft. I said we're going to have some guys going in the third round. They're going to be in the first round of this mock draft. And I think we're there.
Yeah, we're already there. And so it speaks to like what's going to be available. I am now on the clock as the Los Angeles Rams. We're still reeling from the loss of Aaron Donald. We know we cannot find his replacement in the draft. I like where I'm at with Ernest Jones, but I can get better on the inside. So now, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to take a good player. I'm going to plug him in there. Let's go with Peyton. Let's put him alongside Ernest Jones, and those two guys will man my interior two on our nickel package. Cool. So Peyton Wilson at 19.
And I'm gonna stay at the linebacker position. I'm gonna stay at the linebacker position here, and I'm gonna go with Edgerrin Cooper. Edgerrin Cooper to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm gonna play him next to Patrick Queen, and we're gonna have some major speed here at the second level.
All right, so here we go to Miami Dolphins. Oof, DJ, we're looking for.
I told you.
Okay, so Miami Dolphins, we lost Christian Wilkins. They really set back. There's no one. Man, DJ, we're. We're down here trying to find a player that. I shouldn't say that, not being disrespectful to the players that are on the board. I'm just trying to think, just trying to figure out who we can find on the interior. Let's do this. He's not in the same class. He can't give me the playmaking ability, but you can never go wrong with a big plugger on the inside. Let's take Tavondre Sweat right here.
I'm up with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm going to take a personal favorite of mine just because I'm a big fan of the way he plays. They need a corner, and I'm going to go get him one. I'm going to go with Max Melton from
I like
Rutgers,
that pick, though.
Who's explosive and tough and just a really good player.
Yeah, I like that pick. That's cool. Can't go wrong taking good players. Minnesota Vikings. You know, the one position that is not going off the board right now has been safety. And I'm sitting here. I know Harrison Smith is getting older. So let's get him a safety, not in the same mold, but a really good player who can get picks. Let's go with Tyler Newbin from Minnesota.
Yep. Talking to a bunch of teams this weekend. It's pretty unanimous. Everybody I've talked to has him as the top safety. Debates on when that safety comes off the board, but that seems to be pretty unanimous. And I have him as a top safety as well, for whatever that's worth. All right, Dallas Cowboys are on the clock. Cowboys could be looking at corner as well, could be looking at defensive tackle. So when I look at my options that are left here, corners. I'll tell you what, this guy's a good football player. I know he did not run well, but he just has a way of of making plays, getting guys on the ground. He's always around the football. He brings some toughness. I wish he was faster, trust me. And he's probably going to end up going in third round because he ran slow. But I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter from Georgia.
Yeah. Yep. All right, here we go. Go Pack, go. Green Bay Packers are on the clock. Let's go back to... Okay, so when we think about the Green Bay Packers, they've really done an overhaul. They're pretty good on defense. You bring it Xavier McKinney over. You think about what they've done the last couple years, being able to kind of fortify the front line. So they appear to be set there. Linebacker is a position that could be of need, of interest. No Devondre Campbell. Let him go. You have Quay Walker, but Quay Walker needs a playmate. So let's go with Junior Colson from Michigan.
That was going to be my next pick. That was my pick. Coming up next, I was going to take him with Tampa. So he's off the board. So then I'm going to go back to this stack of corners here. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Javon Bullard from Georgia, who can be a day one starter at nickel if you want him to, or you can play safety. You can use him in a lot of different areas. Would give them kind of another versatile piece to go along with Antoine Winfield.
Okay, so we are at the Arizona Cardinals. We're sitting here. We have needs on the defensive line and in the secondary. Defensive line, man, we've kind of been picked clean when it comes to what is available at the D-line. The edge rushes I'm looking for, not really.
I've got my guy queued up for the next pick. You better not take him.
I mean, it would be great for me to go RTR right now and just kind of put him in. I think we're just going to have to do a little Mac Jones, a little Roll Tide roll, Chris Braswell. Come on down to the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, you're going to go Chris Braswell there. I'm going to come back and go DT with the Buffalo Bills. Can add at that spot, and I'm going to go to Big Mason Smith here from LSU. Who's got some love around the league. He's enormous. Played well as a freshman. Got hurt. Wasn't quite the same guy, but betting on the upside there.
Okay, so now we are the Detroit Lions. So Detroit Lions. I think about Aaron Glenn. I think about what they want to do on the outside. Think about having, you know, DJ, this guy kind of shows up on tape. He's kind of one of Lance's guys. So let's drop down and let's take for the Detroit Lions. How about Renardo Green?
Ooh,
from nice. Florida State. Fast guy. Put him down there.
All right. You're going to go Renardo Green. I'm going to come back here with the Baltimore Ravens.
That means it's going to be a good player.
Usually the good player kind of falls to him here. They like versatile guys. Okay. I'm going to take Cole Bishop, safety from Utah.
Oh, nice player.
Yeah. To me, fun little nugget there. When you look at the secondary that he'd be going into, get a chance to go play with Marcus Williams. So you've got the obviously you've got the big time dude from Notre Dame who you can play anywhere on the field. But Marcus Williams was a Utah guy, right? I'm not making that up as I'm scrolling through that. I'm like, I swear he was Utah coming out.
No, yeah, he was Utah.
Obviously you've got Kyle Hamilton there. Yeah, you've got Kyle Hamilton there. But let's go shopping back at Utah again. Let's go get a versatile player. Athletic, man. Can use him, move him around. Can play some nickel backer if you wanted him to.
Yeah, how about that? You think about what the success that they've had with Utah guys. Eric Weddle spent a little time there, played pretty well for them. Missing them and stuff. So, okay, I'm digging it. All right.
You got some Niners.
So let's go. Yeah, got a Niners. And I know that they have to be able to play on the outside. They want physical players. They want to be able to kind of get it. This name keeps coming up. And so I'm going to give it a little love. How about the Niners taking TJ Tampa from Iowa State?
That leaves me with the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go somebody who I think has got some real quickness, can get up the field and can rush from the inside. I'm going to go to Dwayne Carter from Duke as a DT here for the last pick in the first round. So I told you, man, when we got through the offense going through this exercise, we finished. I still had tons of dudes that I could have gone with there. This one, Buck, we barely get out of the top 10, and you're like, whoa, woo. Like this.
Yeah, I feel bad now. I want to make sure that our listeners don't understand. Look, we're not sliding any of the players that are available, but man, it makes you think. When you think about normal first round talent, it should be easy when it pops off. I just think it talks about just where the strength of this draft lies. It lies on the offense. It is, look, one that is very deep at offensive tackle. We think about wide receiver, what they bring. On defense, the depth comes in the secondary, particularly at cornerback. When you look at the other marquee positions, edge rusher, it falls off quickly. Defensive tackle, pass rush and defensive tackles falls off quickly. Linebackers, there are a handful of guys. But really, the strength of the defensive part of the draft is in the secondary. And I think this exercise that we did, having a mock draft, a first-round mock draft with all defensive players, I think it highlights it. I mean, DJ, we talk about 10, 11, 12 DBs come off the board. I mean, that is a ton. And I think we're going to see those runs like that where you see a lot of DBs come off the board the first 2 days.
One of the things that it's helpful, again, going through this is because when you start stacking it up and you start looking at all the teams that have needs at corner, like a name to me, like I have to update my top 50. I got to turn it in by tomorrow morning. I think I'm going to put Max Melton in there because you start looking at it and you're like, you know what? Everybody needs corners. And now I've got a guy, when you look at his card and it says 5'11", 187 pounds, who ran 4.39, can play inside, can play outside, is fluid and tough. Like you start, when you start stacking things and looking at it and you're like, well, everybody thinks this guy's going to be their third round pick. Well, spoiler alert, he ain't going to be there. Like this, you know, that profile. And when you look around the league at all the needs that teams have at that position, like a guy like that, that's why doing this type of exercise helps us out.
Yeah, it really does. It gives us that. So DJ, I want to bring up something that's been kind of buzzing on the Twitterverse, and like most of the people spent most of the weekend watching hoops, watching March Madness. Even though my beloved Tar Heels went down, I had to sit there, and you can imagine having spent some time in North Carolina, just the angst and the pain on my face watching NC State and Duke battle it out. To be the final participant in the Final Four. It is like a tug of war of just like, man, what can you live with more? But during that game, I think the one thing that comes up, everyone is now suddenly talking about DJ Burns and what DJ Burns could be as an NFL prospect. Peter Schrager has put it out. Our guy Jim Nagy put it out first on Friday night. And so, DJ, when you just think about the big man for NC State playing inside, if you had to do a projection, because sometimes we do that, like they'll ask us to look at guys from other sports, basketball players, and whatever. When you just think about the big guy from NC State, if you've had a chance to watch him, like what comes to mind and what position would you project him at if someone wanted to know if he could make the transition to the next level?
Tackle, offensive tackle. Because I just don't, like, to me, there's a temperament that comes with playing defensive line. I don't know with the basketball side of things if I would, you know, I don't know if he's wired like that. But I could tell he's got great feet. So I can, you know, you can work with that in offensive tackle. Jason Peters, was a tight end. Was a tight end coming out. And just remember, he was covering kicks. He was covering kicks when he first got in the NFL.
At Arkansas. Then he goes
insane. And then obviously he's, you know, probably going to be a Hall of Fame player. But that to me was the name that came into my mind. That was the position I thought of.
No, look, it's great. I do believe that. The one thing that we've always seen, like basketball players have been able to make the transition. Most of the time we see those basketball players kind of transition to being tight ends. But the tight end sits right next to the offensive tackle. And when I look at DJ Burns and I look at his footwork, one, I think people have to understand this dude was the third rated basketball player in the state of South Carolina when he came out, right behind Zion Williamson. He goes to Tennessee, then makes his way to Winthrop, then NC State. The footwork there is fantastic. And you're right, DJ, when you're projecting a guy from a different sport to play football, it is all about the athleticism and footwork. I do believe his feet would give him a chance. It would take some time, and you would have to be invested in the project. But just given the way that he's played throughout the year and just looking at how nimble he is, if I'm going to take a flying throw a dart, I absolutely would throw a dart at DJ Burns at offensive tackle. It was something that was buzzing on Twitter, so I thought I'd bring
it up. That's fun. That's a good way to wrap this thing up, man. The other one, I've got a chance to see San Diego State a little bit. They've got a kid, Jason Ladee, who I think he's listed me. He might be listed at 6'9", but maybe he's more 6'7". But man, he is put together and he's an athlete. I don't know if he's, you know, what the NBA looks like for him, but he's, you know, he's a senior. He is, he's an athlete. He was a dominant player there at San Diego State. He's been really good. But those thoughts come to mind when I watch the NCAA tournaments. Who are these guys that could play?
So for me, DJ, I am always looking at guards, point guards, defensive guards. So like the kid from Houston that sprained his ankle, Shed.
Yeah, I saw him play live this year.
DJ, to me,
he's muscled up, man.
He is a bump and run press corner. First day, I'm like, hey man, just go play man to man. Just go play zigzag, just like we should do in basketball. You just go stay in front of him,
turn him.
He absolutely could go and play press corner at the next level because his footwork and his toughness is outstanding. He would have a chance to be able to make a roster as a DB.
Nah, that's fun stuff, man. All right. I want to encourage everybody, if you've made it this far through the episode, appreciate you hanging with us. And if you haven't already, leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast. We do appreciate those. And we'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.